The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lined with the linen wrappings, but rolled up into place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciple returned to their home, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look in the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I've seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because I was curious, I looked up research and discovered that two-thirds of Americans believe, two-thirds, in the physical resurrection of Jesus. Almost 90% of churchgoers do, and almost half of non-churchgoers believe. I'll be honest, I was surprised the numbers were that high. I figured modern people were probably like ancient people, and they knew it was a pretty ridiculous claim that Jesus had risen from the dead. I thought that people today were as smart as ancient people. At least they claimed to be smarter, right? In the ancient world, Romans thought when you died, it was over. That was it. End of story. Nada. If you read the Jewish Bible, you know that Jews believed you lived on through your children. After you died, that was it. Nada. Now, there was a group of Pharisees who believed in resurrection, but they thought it took place at the end of time. When the whole world came to an end, that's when the dead would be raised again. And the Greeks, at least some of them, thought that when you died, your soul escaped from the prison of the body and was able to go up into the spiritual realm. Kind of like what a lot of people believe today about going to heaven. In the end, no one, I repeat, no one thought that when you died, you would then rise a few days later. In all honesty, if the apostles had said, "Jesus was crucified, and on the third day the stone was rolled away, and out hopped a giant rabbit who gave out candy and eggs," that story would be no more crazy than the story that Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus told them that he was going to rise again. and they still didn't believe it. And every story makes it clear. They didn't believe it, and the reason they believed it is because they knew stuff like that just didn't happen. It just didn't happen. But we gather today, and we can proclaim from the depths of our being, well, at least two-thirds of us, He is risen, the Lord is risen indeed. So really, who cares? I mean, really. Can you, in the last month, tell me one time that the fact of the resurrection has caused you to do something different than somebody who doesn't believe? When your doctor tells you you have cancer, are you any less likely to collapse? When you go to a funeral, do you have the same hopeless feelings as people who don't believe in the resurrection? The resurrection of Jesus has a lot of meaning. First of all, it is God's confirmation of what Jesus said. He is the Son of God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. The resurrection of Jesus means that Jesus has defeated Satan. My typical parishioner doesn't want to hear about Satan because it gives them the creeps and they're afraid. I want to make this as clear as I can. Satan is afraid of us. Satan is afraid of us. I know that. I've seen it with my own eyes. You have a power in Jesus. Because of the resurrection, Satan has been defeated. Jesus is Lord over every unjust ruler and every oppressor in the history of the world. Now, I know it's really important for us to worry about what the next thing is. And it's never been worse than it is today. There's never been more horrible things going on than today. The medical profession is trying to kill us. The government is trying to kill us. They're following us around. They know what's going on. There's no hope at all. Except Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And for any of you who've read history, you know that every day on the history of the planet, someone's running around saying, it's never been worse. I always laugh when middle-class Americans talk about how bad it is. Like the bubonic plague never occurred. We've never seen it this bad before. Well, you haven't because you were born recently, but let me tell you about the past. And let me tell you about Jesus' day. According to the resurrection, Thanatos and Hades, two of the many gods whom Jesus has overthrown. Thanatos, the god of death, who had a hold of all of us, and Hades, the god of the afterlife, who put us to sleep. Both of them were defeated. One of my favorite poems is a 4th century hymn where Thanatos says to Hades, it's wonderful, he says, don't take this guy in. He has snatched people out of my hand several times. He is bad news. You don't want him in here. Thanatos and Hades were destroyed by Jesus Christ. Because of the victory of Jesus, we're no longer captives. We're free. Because of resurrection life, the kingdom of darkness has no power over us. Sin and death, which were destroyed on the cross, have now been totally annihilated by Jesus. He is risen. Next time you see the word Nike, it means victory. Jesus is Nike. Jesus is the victory. So I want you to hear me, whatever your situation. I'm a history major, so I know about the past. I'm a social worker and a counselor. I know about the present. Many of you find yourselves in very difficult circumstances right now. You have fears, some uncontrollable fears. Many of you are lonely, isolated. You feel abandoned. You have hard work. Many of you are working too hard. Your bodies are tired. Your spirits are tired. Your soul is tired. I don't know what your troubles are. I don't know what your doubts and fears are. I don't know what they are. But I know this. The resurrection of Jesus Christ makes them as nothing. No matter how bad you think it might be, that's how much better His power is in our lives. So today, I want you to understand what John is telling you. It all went to pot in a garden, right? Adam and Eve. That story talking about our lives. And in a garden, it's all been redeemed. In a garden, in the darkness, Jesus, resurrection light, shines. He's called the gardener. Anybody want to take a guess why? Adam, the first gardener. He's called the gardener, and the man, Jesus, talks to the woman who stands in the place of Eve. And he gives her hope. What he's basically telling her is, remember that serpent? Look at my foot. And beneath his foot is the head of the serpent. That's what today means. So I know I'm in the church. I understand things. I know the women get together and they said, ladies, let's focus here. We can find something wrong. We can find something that's not right. We can find a reason to say things are going wrong. And I know the men are saying, you know, there's problems. I know we can figure out something we have to defend ourselves from. I understand in the church. But here's what I want you. A lot of people say, do you know how bad it is? All right, here's my counter on Resurrection Day. Do you know how good it is? Do you know how good it is? I know you got problems. I got problems. We all got problems. I do funerals for crying out loud. I get to share in other people's problems. I get to see death lots of times when I'm not in the mood for it. But every time I know this fact, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. It's the most amazing thing that we know, and yet we pretend like it doesn't matter. Now, I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. Because for 2 weeks I've been looking at these readings. And I've been saying, walking down the street, does anybody know that I really believe Jesus rose from the dead? Or do I look like just one more grumpy old man? Right? So I'm going to throw out a possibility. I don't want you to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Okay? I don't want you to believe it. I want you to believe it. I want it to be a life-shaping, transformative belief so that you experience joy and hope and peace. And I know they tell us, don't be too joyful. Don't be too happy. You're supposed to be mopey. You know, if you're too good, you don't want to be Pollyanna and all that stuff. You know what? I am Pollyanna. Because a dead guy just walked out of a tomb, declared he's king of the universe, and he said he's on my side. And I want you to do this in a meditation at some point today. Imagine you're in the garden. Imagine it. And hear him say your name. Hear the risen Jesus say your name. And then throw your arms around him and hold on every day. And if you believe, please be very generous in the first collection. A lot of you visitors, this ain't our money. Every cent you give us will go to the poor and needy. I promise, not a cent will be in ours. So please be very generous.